It's been 2 years since the government rounded up and slaughtered nearly 1,100 bison outside the confines of Yellowstone National Park. Officials said the action was needed to protect Montana cattle, but the public was outraged. Since then, relatively mild winters have provided a reprieve for both the bison and the embattled park officials. Fewer than 28 of the animals have been killed. But the government's latest plan to manage the nation's last herd of wild bison is being criticized by both the cattle industry and the public. Kathy Witkowski reports from Yellowstone National Park.
It's one of the most emotional issues the Park Service has ever faced, and at no time was that more apparent than the last weekend in February. About 100 Native Americans, some wearing traditional headdresses and clothing, gathered at Yellowstone National Park. Many of them had walked or ridden over 500 miles to honor the bison. Before the arrival of white settlers, bison thrived on the plains, and the culture of the Plains Indians revolved around them.
We must spread this word today that we must respect the buffalo people. We must respect the earth and all its creation.
Huddled against the cold and wind, the crowd gathered around a buffalo skull and prayed. Shortly afterward, we were asked to turn off our cameras and tape recorders, as one man had his back pierced with sticks, which were tied to buffalo skulls. Some people wept as he circled the crowd, dragging the skulls behind him while blood dripped from his wounds. This traditional buffalo ceremony, rarely witnessed by whites, is meant as a sacrifice, says Lakota activist Rosalie Littlethunder.
We cannot give the earth anything because we've taken everything we have is taken from the earth. And so, you know, the suffering is the only, you know, offering we can give.
The Plains Indians no longer depend on the buffalo for their survival, but the ceremony and the walk was a way to reaffirm their connection with the animal from which these Indians believe they're descended.
They're the center of our spirituality, and we have a responsibility to them, and this was fulfilling at least our part.
But the state of Montana says it also has a responsibility to protect its cattle from disease and its livestock producers from economic sanctions. About half the Yellowstone bison herd tests positive for brucellosis. There has never been a documented case of free-ranging bison transmitting the disease to cattle, but the consequences would be serious. Brucellosis can cause cattle to abort their calves. About 2,000 head of cattle graze in areas that might be frequented by the bison. So over the past 15 years, state and federal officials have killed more than 2,500 bison that have strayed outside park boundaries in search of winter forage. And Little Thunder isn't the only one who's upset about that.
Dear sir or madam, I am profoundly disappointed that in your assessment of the Yellowstone bison herd management, you appear to have acceded to the self-interest of the livestock ranchers. Why must the bison pay the
These are excerpts from some of the 67,000 letters received by the National Park Service from around the country.
Because the animals have no fear of people, reinstating a public hunt of bison in Montana is morally repugnant. Capturing and slaughtering
There
bison,
should and must be alternatives to the slaughter of buffalo. They are a national treasure and should be protected as such.
An estimated 90% of them oppose the government's newly proposed plan. Capturing and testing nearly all bison that leave the park and killing those that test positive for brucellosis. Yellowstone Park Superintendent Michael Finley agreed to the plan, but even he isn't entirely satisfied.
It was a compromise between what the state believes is necessary and appropriate to protect their brucellosis status and what we believe is appropriate for bison to use the public lands and leave Yellowstone National Park, just like all other wildlife species.
That's the position of the National Wildlife Federation and other environmental groups. 47,000 people wrote in support of their proposal, which would give bison, rather than cattle, priority on public lands adjacent to the park. If this were a vote, the National Wildlife Plan would have won by a landslide. But that's not how policy is made.
The decision should not be made by whoever has the most political juices or the most votes on a given day.
Julie LaPierre works with Montana Governor Mark Roscoe.
That's not how we permit mines in Montana. That's not how we permit roads going through wetland areas. Decisions are made on the law and science.
There's also another piece of the puzzle, the fear of economic sanctions against Montana's livestock exporters. In the past, some states have threatened to ban Montana livestock if the state doesn't do everything in its power to contain the bison. So even though the federal government has said that certain bison pose only a very slight risk to cattle, the state of Montana continues to capture and test most bison that leave the park, sending those that test positive to slaughter. Again, Yellowstone Park Superintendent Michael Finley.
It's like the Gordian knot that can never be untied. It's one of the most intractable issues that I've ever dealt with in my career.
A final bison management plan probably won't be in place before the year 2000. And even under that plan, some bison exiting the park will no doubt be killed. The controversy and the killing isn't likely to end until someone develops a brucellosis vaccine for bison. And that's not expected for at least another 2 to 5 years. For NPR News, I'm Kathy Witkowski in Yellowstone National Park.